Mickey, I'm grateful for that. Acts chapter 12, got something on my heart I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God. I'm thankful for your faithfulness to be here this morning. When you found your place in Acts 12, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. We're going to begin reading. Let's just go ahead and start in verse number 7, if we may, this morning. We're going to consider these wonderful truths in this truly spectacular chapter in the Word of God. Beginning in verse number 7, the Bible says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side." That is, the angel did. "He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." He's saying, we're going somewhere. "And so he did Peter. And he said unto him, Cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision." Now look at verse number 10. "And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him." I want you to go back into verse number 10 and notice the words that are making reference to the iron gate that says, "which opened to them." When God opens a door. When God opens a door. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I still can't help but find myself laughing whenever I see that commercial on television that it has the man trying to approach and trying to enter some of those automatic opening glass doors. You've seen them all, don't you? You've seen all them type things. We deal with them every day. It would appear that he was walking into his office or maybe a professional building of some type. He had on his business suit. He had one of those styrofoam cups of coffee, a to-go cup of coffee in his hand. He nonchalantly approaches this glass door that in most cases automatically opened, but for whatever reason on that particular day, it did not. And the commercial shows the man hitting the front door at full speed, coffee going all over the door, all over his refined business suit because he was expecting that door to open. Has anybody ever seen that commercial? Have you seen it on TV? Yeah, some of you have seen it. Every time I look at that, every time I see it, I can't help but laugh. A warped sense of humor I've got. Those type of things just seem to amuse me. We can all identify with those types of doors, can't we? Anytime that we may walk into the Walmart or go to the mall or even into our own offices, we have become so accustomed to those automatic opening doors. They just open automatically as we begin to walk toward them. I want you to keep that in your mind and think about that with us this morning, because when it comes to the different areas of life, the quest that we may be in our life, for the will of God in our lives, the decisions that we need to make, or just simply trying our best to walk with the Lord in the spiritual battles that we are facing. Friends, wouldn't it be really, really wonderful if when we walked up to those doors, they always just automatically opened, knowing exactly what way the Lord wants us to go, knowing what God wants us to do, the path that He wants us to take. Perhaps you came into the Lord's house this morning. You came to church today, maybe, and you were looking for an open door in your life. You were looking for an open door to know how to deal with your family, your children, or your spouse. You were looking for an open door, maybe with a career opportunity, a job that is out there. Maybe you are looking for an open door in some type of facet having to do with a medical need that you may have. You're just looking for an open door in your life to find exactly what God's plan is and exactly what God's will is in your life. You're here today, right now, and you are looking for an open door to know what you need to do. If you're in that place today, I want you to listen closely what the Scripture is teaching us in Acts chapter 12. For it's here when we come to these verses that we find such a beautiful picture that is given to us of God giving the Apostle Peter an open door in his life when he needed it the most. This passage is a glorious one. It is one that I preached on several different occasions. It's the one that speaks to my heart in many different ways. It's the one you can preach in different approaches as well. But today I want to approach it from this thought of when God opens a door in our life. I love it when God just opens a door. I love it when the Lord just shows you what you need to do, shows you how you need to go about it, makes it clear what He has for you in your life. I want you to notice these four thoughts with me today. When God opens a door, beginning first of all, we see that there is a desperate problem. There is the desperate problem. There's not one among us this morning that does not know what I'm talking about when I say a desperate problem. Nobody in here has been exempt from having some problems in your life. And you would classify so many of those as being very desperate when you think about them and when you really start to drill down upon them in your mind. What we find in our lives, sometimes they are so overwhelming and we don't know how to handle them. We don't know where to go, which direction that we need to go. When we are ever faced with that, one of the most responsible things that we will ever be able to do is to just stop. Acknowledge the fact that we don't know what to do, acknowledging the problem to the Lord, saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't know how that I need to handle that. And as I approach a door in my life, I want you to show me, Lord, which door that you want me to go through. This way we can resolve the problem that is getting more and more desperate in our life before it gets bigger than that which we have the ability to handle. Humanly speaking, Peter had some problems right here. And I love how the scripture breaks it down to us. Peter, first of all, teaches us in this story right here that there was an undeserved persecution. To see this, we have to go back to the first verse. We notice that the scripture says in verse number 1, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church." When we see these words, Herod the king, we've got to understand this was the governor. This was the man in charge of the entire Jewish population really at this time, all of Jerusalem in that area. The earlier verses of chapter number 12, they are telling us that this man Herod, who by the way, he hated God and he hated anything that had to do with God. He hated all of the people of God, but it was in this time in history that he had elevated his attacks against the church of God. And one of the ways that he did it is with the killing of James. James was one of the brothers of John, both of which were disciples of Jesus Christ while he was walking and doing his ministry on this earth. And what Herod had done, he had elevated his attacks upon the people of God, upon the church of God. The fact is, he was on a head-hunting mission to eliminate these mighty men of God that were turning the world upside down or right side up, whichever way you want to look at it, for God's glory. He hated them. And so the Bible therefore declares to us in this chapter that Herod apprehended Peter. He imprisoned Peter. He signed his death order. And then he scheduled his execution date. Now, many of us, if we have followed the life of Peter, and we know that Peter had more zeal sometimes for God than he had much common sense for God as well. He was a guy that did some pretty outrageous things from time to time, wasn't he? And many times, there's no doubt that old Peter deserved to be in jail. But when we come to this particular passage in the 12th chapter, Peter was guilty of doing absolutely nothing wrong other than supremely loving his Lord Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of God everywhere that he went. There was an undeserved persecution. Peter was under the gun. He was under attack for reasons that really were not legitimate. I wonder how many of us here today could identify with where Peter's at. You feel like you're under attack right now for a bunch of undeserved reasons. You just don't think you deserve to be in that place. But there wasn't only this undeserved persecution, but there was also ulterior purpose or an ulterior motive that we could call it as well. This underhanded plot that Herod the king had put into place that landed Peter in the spot that he was. Look with me now in verse number 3 where it says, he says right here, "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews," because Herod saw underscore that it pleased the Jews. What he did then is he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now we've got to remember the Jews rejected Christ. Remember that. They rejected Christ. Therefore, they had no problem at all rejecting any of God's people, right? They reject God. They're not going to have any problem at all rejecting God's people. Herod was always on a hunt in his life for any type of political power or political gain. So when he saw that there was a making of a certain block of the political group that he was supposed to be over, it was making them happy. When he saw that this martyring of James made them happy, he then sought to go after and do the same thing with Peter. He began to try to undermine Peter and his ministry. He was only interested in his own personal gain, and he would do whatever he had to do, anything whatsoever, to be able to obtain it, no matter how wrong it was, or no matter how much it hurt other people. Now listen to me real closely. Sometimes people in this world will hurt you just to help themselves. Let me say that again. Sometimes people in this world, they will hurt you just to help themselves. Sometimes people will make fun of you. They will put you down just so they can elevate themselves in front of a certain crowd that they want to. That speaks volumes of a certain character of somebody. If they will put you down just to elevate themselves. Those are people sometimes you may not need to have anything to do with, right? Those who try to belittle you to be able to push themselves up. That's exactly who Herod the king was. He was trying to elevate himself while putting everybody else down. And he was in this, he was pushing it hard. He was going after God's people. Perhaps you may be here today and you may feel like you're in that same spot. You came into church today and you were looking for an open door from God to be able to get direction in your life, direction or to escape some type of battle or some type of burden that you are faced with in your life. You feel that you are a good person. You feel that you do not deserve to be in the battle, the persecution that you are in right now. You feel like the devil, you feel like other people, and you feel like circumstances of your life are wearing you down, and people that are within your path are just making it worse. They are elevating themselves to be able to put you down. That's exactly where Peter was. You're in a place in your life today that Peter could have been. But maybe you're saying, this situation that I'm faced with, it is so unfair. I just don't deserve it. Don't you understand? Peter could have easily been in that position. Peter could have easily said, I don't deserve this. I'm a good guy. I'm trying my best to serve the Lord. Point other people toward the mighty cross. But that's not at all what Peter did. And I'm thankful for it, because Peter learned that there wasn't only the desperate problem that he had, but there was the developing preparation. God was working in Peter's situation. God was doing a work. I love how this story, it continues to unfold right before our eyes. I love how this unfolded, because it is here that we see a development that God is doing right in the middle of the problem that Peter is having. Wouldn't we all today just love to have God's development in the middle of our problem? Let me tell you, just because we can't see it doesn't mean it is not there. And God was doing some things in Peter's life and in Peter's problem that he couldn't see at this time. They just were not there. He did not understand what it was. Peter teaches us in this, first of all, that there was a fervent prayer. Oh, this blesses my heart. There was a fervent prayer. Look at verse number 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but look at this. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Highlight that in your Bible. You ought to highlight it in your Bible. You ought to stamp those words in your heart and in your mind, and don't ever forget it. This word that we see ceasing in this verse, It means literally intense prayer. It is speaking of a prayer that was filled with agony. It is the exact same word that Luke used to be able to describe the garden experience as the Lord Jesus was praying in the garden before he went to Calvary, before he went and suffered. It is the same word that Luke used to be able to describe the prayer of the Lord Jesus while in the agony before he went to Calvary's cross. Now you notice it carefully right here. It does not say that it was Peter's Facebook group that was out there praying for him. It does not say that it was the DJ at the local prayer, the local radio station that was praying for them. It doesn't say anything about how that this was the Bible study group. It wasn't the prayer club group that had gathered around to pray for Peter. I want you to understand, there's always a place for those particular places and those particular things to help us in our prayer life. And I tell you, when I really need to get a hold of God, I don't want my Facebook friends praying for me only. I just don't want the DJs announcing it on the radio station. I don't want all of those out there that are in my prayer group or my Bible study group. All of those have their place. That's not who I want praying for me. I want to go to the church of God. I want the church of God calling out to God on my behalf. There is something unique. There is something special. There is something powerful when God's people come together and they go to praying for the needs of the other people that are in their world and in their path and in their fellowship. I thank God for all the other tools of prayer, but I'm afraid sometimes we bypass the church and we air out everything else for everybody else, but we bypass the church of God in whom God said he would listen to. Boy, I see right here Peter, knowing that he was about to be arrested, knowing that the guard dogs of Herod were closing in on him. You know what I see, Brother Haney? I see him going to prayer meeting on Wednesday night right before he got arrested. I see him going into the prayer meeting. I see him sitting down under the burden and under the struggle of his life, under the battle of his life. He knew that the pressure was on, but he sits down in a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And I tell you, just before the church went to praying, old Peter stood up. He said, "Pastor, can I make a prayer request? Can I do that?" And old Peter stands up and he says, "I just want to let the church know that the guard dogs of Herod are getting close to me. They're closing in on me right now. And it's real possible that it may not be long until you hear that they have arrested me. And there's a very good possibility that they are then going to execute me because we know what they just done to our beloved James that was here. We understand what they just did there. And I know that Herod is coming after me." And then old Peter said, "But don't worry about it, church. I'm trusting the hand of God in the middle of it. No matter what Herod does, if he does apprehend me and arrest me, imprison me, and then schedule my execution day, I'm going to trust God and his will, and I'm just going to simply go right along with it. All I'd like to ask you to do is if news comes to you that I have been arrested, I just want to ask you, would you just pray for me? Would you just gather and assemble the people of God together and go to praying for me and ask God to intervene in my situation as according to his will?" It wasn't long after news did come to the church. Peter had been apprehended by Herod and all of his guard dogs. And so as the word spread through the church, the pastor called the church together. They all assembled together. And I see him standing up in front of the church in Jerusalem. And I see him saying, "You remember last Wednesday night, the man of God stood up here and he made a decree, he made a request to the people of God. And he said, if I get arrested, would you please just pray for me?" Well, church, he's been arrested. The death order has been signed. He is to be executed at dawn. And we're going to honor the request of the man of God. And so they all came together. They didn't come together with their shallow prayer list of the things that they wanted, the things that they needed to see and they wanted to see develop in their life. They came together with one purpose. They came together with an intense and a fervent and an agonizing prayer. And they came to the house of God and they said, "Oh dear God, the man of God has got a desperate problem in his life right now. And if you don't open a door in his world, he's going to die at dawn. We need you to step in. We need you to intervene in what's going on." Ladies and gentlemen, if you came here today looking for that open door in your your life. You're looking for what God would have you to do next in your world. I want you to know that you'd better have yourself on your knees calling out to God in your situation. But you better implore a whole bunch of other people in the house of God, the people of God, to get around you and pray about the open door that you need in your life. For I promise you, you may never find that open door. It is here that we see a glorious biblical truth that God honors the prayers of the church of God when God's church comes together and goes to pray. And there was the fervent prayer, but understand that fervent prayer that we said led to a faithful presence as well. A faithful presence. Now, beginning in verse number 6 and on through verse number 8, we see the presence of God walking right into the middle of old Peter's problem. You ever been there before? In the middle of a problem, but the presence of God just walked into it. Look at verse number 6, a little further on down into verse number 6. I hope I can see it now. The same night, Peter was sleeping. You get that? Peter's out. Peter's sleeping like it was any other night. In the middle of the biggest problem of his life. That's not my message. But hold on to that. Peter is sleeping. He's sleeping where? Between two soldiers. Bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now look at verse number 7. Look at this presence, this preparation. And behold, here it is. The angel of the Lord came unto him. There's some preparation right there. And a light shined in the prison. There's some more preparation. The second thing. And he smote Peter on the side. There's the third thing. He raised him up. There's the fourth thing. Saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. There's the fifth thing. Verse number 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself. There's the sixth thing. Buy thy sandals, put your shoes on, he's saying. We going somewhere. There's the seventh thing. And so he, that is Peter, Peter did it. And he said unto him, here's the eighth thing, cast thy garment about thee. The messenger of God was preparing the servant of God for an open door that the servant of God couldn't even see at that time. Didn't even see it being possible. Breaking down the scripture further, the word prison that we see in verse number 6, it is unique to this particular passage of scripture, and the word literally means dwelling. It literally means dwelling. Though he was in the problem of his life, Peter knew he was in the will of God. And therefore, the presence of God was right there with Peter in the middle of the problem of his life. And therefore, it just felt like home as much as it would if he was at the house in Capernaum with his feet propped up in his recliner. It just felt like home. Listen to me. Only God has the ability to make you feel at home. Right in the middle of all of the problems of your life, only God can do that. Peter was in the middle of this great problem. He was in the middle of the biggest maximum security prison of his day. There were guards all around the prison. There were guards at the gate, the door, and the gate, and the door of his ward. There were guards, even the Bible tells us, on both sides of Peter, with Peter having his hands chained, and his hands would have been chained to a wall with just enough distance where he can move just enough around, just to get around a few foot from where the wall was actually at. But in the middle of all of that, Peter knew he was in the middle of God's will. Peter knew he was scheduled to die at dawn, but he was in the middle of God's will. So what did Peter do? He sat down on that night. He ate his supper. He went. He brushed his teeth. He put his jammies on. And he looked at the guards and said, "Good night, fellas." And he laid down and he fell sound asleep. In a heart of peace, in the middle of the problem of his life that day, what Peter nor them guards knew at that point, it would appear that the Lord had walked into that prison, put some of them knockout drops in the evening coffee of them soldiers, sent them off to La La Land. And this way God began to move. God began to make preparation to open a door that Peter never saw coming and could not imagine what had happened. It was in that time that the angel of God went to tippy-toe right into the prison of Peter. And then he shined a light on Peter. He said, "You are the focus of my attention today." And then the chains fell off, the Bible says, of his hands. Peter was then loose. Peter was then free to move around. And then that angel said, "I want you to get your coat on. I want you to put your shoes on. I want you to get ready because we are busting out of here tonight. We're going out. There's an open door in your life, and I am going to take you straight to that place." Folks, we may have some problems in this place today, but I promise you that if you're in the will of God, I promise you that if you're walking with God, there is some preparation that is going on in your world you just can't even see right now. God is preparing you and I for some open doors that we don't even know exist. He is doing a work that we can't see. Peter had no idea what was going on. Peter didn't understand all the details of it, as we'll see here in just a minute. But God was developing something in Peter's life when Peter was sleeping, trusting God in the middle of his problem. God was working out an open door. There is what we see right here. The problem of Peter. We see that it is a desperate problem. Then we see there is a developing preparation, but thirdly, there's a divine passage that God gave Peter as well. There's a divine passage, or the divine passage. How many of you in here wake up real well in the morning? Is anybody a morning person? Jerry's up at 2 in the morning every day. Most people don't wake up real well, do they? Especially if you didn't sleep too much the night before. Sometimes it's hard to wake up real early the next morning. Peter here was sound asleep. No matter how big his problem was, no matter that execution was awaiting for him the next morning, he was sound asleep. No matter how well that you may wake up in the morning, if you get woke up in the middle of a time when you are sound asleep, it usually takes you a minute or two to get your blood to going. Your faculties in order a little bit, where you're able to start thinking and realize what exactly is going on. Peter probably stumbled to his feet. He didn't know exactly what was happening. His angel had woke him up in the middle of the night. The Bible tells us Peter is sleeping, and no doubt he was getting some rest. He was going to need it for what was to come the next day. And he was just getting some rest. And the angel of God wakes him up. And it's not that Peter would have been surprised that God was moving. He wasn't surprised, but he was just sleepy. That's all there was to it. Peter fully expected God to do something. There's no doubt. But he was just a little bit sleepy in his situation. The angel of the Lord was motivating Peter, lighting a fire up under Peter, saying, "Get up. It's time for us to go. We got some things to do." But I love what we see right here. And oh, the Lord will help us right here. First of all, when we think about this divine passage, we see that there was a followed guidance that Peter had. There was a followed guidance. Look, verse number 8, the end of it. "And follow me." The angel of God, the messenger of God, "I want you to come with me," he says. Now look, going into verse number 9. "And he went out and followed him." Hold on to that. The angel of God said, "Come after me, follow me." Peter said, "Okay." He got up, he did everything the angel said, and he began to follow him. Look further in verse number 9. This is good right here. And we understand where Peter was in this case. It goes on to talk about he didn't know what was going on right now. He thought he was dreaming. The last word said he thought it was a vision. This word vision is telling us that Peter didn't exactly know what was going on. Peter was still half asleep. He thought this really is a vision. Now, If you follow the life of Peter, you know Peter never had any problem sleeping. He had no problem sleeping on the Mount that night when the glory of God showed up and the greatest Bible conference that ever happened, Peter was asleep. He had no problem in Gethsemane sleeping when the Lord was out there. Peter was asleep. Peter didn't need a sleeping machine. Peter didn't have insomnia. Peter was asleep. Peter had no problem sleeping at all in his life. So Peter, no doubt, he was gone. I mean, he was asleep as much as asleep can possibly mean asleep in somebody's life. Peter was simply asleep, and he was experiencing a deep sleep. Now the messenger of God is coming. And the messenger of God says, it's time to wake up. And I don't want you to miss this, because the Lord told Peter in verse number 8, follow me through the messenger of God, the angel. He said, follow me. And in verse number 9, what did Peter do? Peter got up and he followed the messenger and the guidance of God. No matter how big his problem, no matter how disoriented he may have been, how sluggish he may have felt at that point, Peter realized at this point, hey, God's got an open door right now somewhere in my not-so-distant future. And it is my job to stand up, and it is my job to follow the messenger of God. Some of us are asking right now, the preacher, how do I know that it is the guidance of God that is speaking to me? How do I know that the Lord is saying, follow me toward this door? If I only knew it was of God, I would have no problem at all doing it. I would fall right in line with it. I would follow the guidance of God and do it without any question. You listen closely to me right now, and don't ever forget this. Write this down. Put it in your margin. Type it in your phone. Stamp it in your heart. Don't ever forget this. The devil pushes. The Lord leads. The devil pushes. The Lord leads. I don't like to be pushed. Do you? I don't like to be forced into anything. The devil will push us and force us into doing things that are contrary to the will of God, and he'll make it look all shiny and flashy and make it look good. But don't you ever forget, much of that is of the devil. If you ever feel pushed into doing something, making a decision into your life, forced into it, pressure is put on you to do something, you need to understand that is likely not of God. It is likely of the devil, and it is a decoy to take you down a wrong path to get you out of the will of God. So whenever you are faced with that decision and you are desiring, even with all of your heart, to make the right choice, just stop and see, am I being pushed right now or am I being led? The angel of God, the messenger of God, he did all the hard work. He did all the footwork. All he told Peter to do is, I want you to get up and follow me. That's your only job right now. Just simply get up and follow me. Come after me. Many of us today, there's no doubt the guidance of God is all over our life as we sit in this building. God is trying to do something with us. God is trying to guide us down a path somewhere in our life. But we really are. We're wondering, is this really the path I need to go? Is this the direction that I need to walk? I'm scared to death to take that step. Don't ever forget, if you feel pressure from anybody or anything, be careful then. You better research it deeper. That may be of the devil. But God will guide you. He'll just lead you right along to the open door of your life, the direction that you need to go next in your life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God only opens doors. God only opens doors to those who are willing to follow Him. If you're not willing to follow Him, you will never find an open door in your life. Had Peter not been willing to follow the guidance of God, he would have never found that open door. Many of us today are just sitting in our seats. Many of us today are just going through the motions of life. Religion, spiritual things, tradition. Just going about it with no sense of urgency, no burden deep within our soul to see people saved, to see a world change for the glory of God. Many of us today are sitting in the biggest and the deepest and the most desperate problems of our life. We sure do want that open door to be able to take us to the next step of where we need to go to know what God has for our lives. And the guidance of God is no doubt working on our hearts, showing us what we need to do and how we need to do it. But many of us just are not to the point where we are willing to follow the guidance of God. Peter would have never found the guidance of God or never found the door open in his life had he not been willing to follow the guidance of God. As the story develops, we learn that Peter would have been very glad that he followed the guidance of God because that led to a functioning gate in his life. Not only a followed guidance, but a functioning gate. Verse number 10. I love verse number. How many of you still with me? Say amen. Verse number 10 says, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate. Anybody ever tried to just knock through an iron gate before? I haven't, but you don't do that. You're not going to be able to do that. They came to the iron gate. This was an iron gate. It leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. The angel did not have a duplicate key made of this gate to be able to go and open that. There was no code that he punched in on a keypad somewhere and the gate just opened right up. There was no type of remote that he could just hit, you know, kind of like with our garage doors, and the door just opens right up. No. Ladies and gentlemen, when the man of God followed the guidance of God through the problem of his life, the hand of God, he didn't know it, had then prepared a way. It had picked the lock, it had turned the handle, and it quietly swung open the iron gate. Now, I don't want you to forget this right here. We've got to remember that all of this was happening in response to and as a result of the church of God. The church of God that was praying for the man of God, the servant of God that was in the deepest problem of his life. It was just a few days earlier when that iron gate of that prison slammed shut. Oh, that the heavenly gate swung open when the people of God went to praying, calling out to God for intervention in the life of this dear man of God in their lives. I believe Peter would have never experienced the deliverance of God the way that he did had the people of God simply not been praying the way that they were praying. Otherwise, God wouldn't have put that fact in there that the church was praying for them. Now, I want you to listen very closely to me. The reason we are not seeing more open doors in our lives, more open doors in our circumstances, is because we have not become desperate enough in our prayer the way the church of God did right here. We think we're desperate. We think that we are being as desperate as we can. We think that us spending our little 5 minutes in prayer, we think that us just simply praying over our bologna sandwich, we think that us just bowing our head in church is desperation. No. God's not looking for that. God's looking for a man or a woman who makes much of God in his house, who won't miss a prayer meeting, who won't hesitate to fall down on their face and say, oh God, I need your intervention in my problem. I'm desperate right now, and if I don't get it, God, I'm going down. The man of God was going to be executed at dawn. You looking for an open door in your life? You better start getting desperate in our prayer life. We better start learning how to pray. Lay me down to sleep prayers aren't going to get it done. We're going to have to raid the throne of God in prayer and ask God to intervene in every area of our life. You see, just like the man in our opening illustration that I told you about, just like that man, so many of us, we are walking up to those doors following something or someone else. We are walking up to a bunch of doors, though, that are dysfunctional. Just like that man, the door didn't open to. He walked right up to it and he fell right into the middle of it. So many of us are walking up to a bunch of dysfunctional doors. I tell you what, we get so frustrated with it. We're running right into them. We're trying to force our way through them. We are hurting ourselves. We're making a mess out of ourselves because of everything we're spilling in our lives to be able to force that door open. If you've ever got to force a door open, don't you ever forget, it's likely not of God. God's not going to force you to force a door open. No, when God opens a door, he'll take care of every one of the details. He'll come in. He'll put the knockout drops in the guards of this world that are wearing you down. He'll be the one that nudges you in the side and says, hey, John, time to wake up. Put your coat, put your shoes on. Time for us to go because we're busting out of the problem and the prison of your life. And God will guide you straight to the open door. You stay in the will of God. You stay in prayer. And it's going to be amazing, the open doors that God is going to provide for you in your life when God opens a door. How many of you today, I wonder, are standing at a door? Your in that season of decision in your life, wondering what God has got next. The desperate problem, you're there, aren't you? The developing preparation, God's working behind the scenes, though you may not even be able to see it. The divine passage, but then there's also the defining possibilities. The defining possibilities. With every open door that we ever come to in this life, there are various possibilities on the other side of it, whether good or bad, that we are faced with. We don't know what's on the other side of that open door. That's where Peter was here. Peter realized this firsthand, for there was, first of all, that we see an uncertain outcome. Look at it in verse number 10. An uncertain outcome. And they went out and they passed on through one street. That's a fascinating statement there as well. And forthwith the angel departed from him. The angel had been with him every step of the way. The guidance had showed him exactly where to go, how to get to where he was going, showed him the open door, that iron gate that swung open. By this time, obviously, Peter has to be fully awake. I mean, Peter had just experienced one of the most mighty moves of God that he had seen since Christ had ascended back to heaven. Peter had just experienced a miracle of God that had literally blown his mind as Peter walked through the open door of God. No doubt he turned around and he said, that's pretty good. And he said, Mr. Angel, that's good stuff right there. The angel said, yeah, you're out now. You're free. I've done my job. I'm gone. By the way, anywhere you find in the New Testament, the angel of God doesn't stick around. Once he does his work, he's gone. Not robbing one bit of glory from the one who deserves it. The angel was gone. Peter said, whoa, 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 whoa. Where are you going, man? Where are you going right now? You can't go nowhere. You got me this far. Take me the next step. The angel said, no, I'm done. The angel left. Peter is now all alone. On the other side of his open door. No doubt, Peter being familiar with the city, of course. But no doubt, Peter was thinking, oh, at any time, this could have been a setup. Is it possible that one of Herod's guards are about to shoot an arrow through my heart? Maybe I'm about to be surrounded by a bunch of guards. And Herod himself is going to come and thrust his dagger through my throat as he's done so many times before to others. Peter was uncertain about the circumstance he was in. Though he had taken the step of faith, and though he had made his way through the door, he was now on the other side of it, and he was uncertain. He was all alone. The angel, the guidance of God, had left him. Peter was hoping for the best, but was very well aware of what could be the worst that was right there where he was. There are no doubt some of us here today, some of our dear people here today, we are so scared to walk through the open door that is right in front of us right now because we're so uncertain about what is on the other side of that open door. We're scared to death to move forward. If you're not staring at an open door, by the way, right now in your life, it's not going to be long until you are. And you ought to listen to what the Scripture is telling us here, because one day you're going to be at that moment of decision. May we never forget, folks, when God opens a door, and this is what Peter knew, when God opens a door, there's not only going to be this uncertain outcome, but when God opens the door, there ought to be an understood overseer. When God opens the door, you don't have to worry about being alone because you're not alone. Just because the angel was gone, just because you're now standing all alone in uncertainty in your world, never forget There's a sweet presence of God that is with you in places where nobody else can go with you. That presence of God will carry you when everybody else just seems to drop you. Peter could have refused. Peter could have even hesitated to have gone through the open door that God had opened in his life. And he could have very easily done that, but he didn't do that at all. Peter took a step of faith and he moved forward for God in the middle of the desperate problem in his life. God had opened a door. God went on to use Peter for a while longer in a mighty big way. But it would have never happened had Peter not been willing to walk through the open door of God that God had placed right in his path. Many of you may remember, I'm talking about the old rendition of the game show, Let's Make a Deal. Did anybody ever watch that one? I think there's a new one out, I've never seen it, but the old one, Let's Make a Deal. Remember how the show would work? They would call the contestant down front, wouldn't they? They would call the contestant down, the crowd would be cheering, and in many cases, they would present the contestant with three doors. Behind one of the doors was a decent prize. You know, a fair prize. Anybody be happy with it. Behind one of the other doors is the grand prize. That's where the new car is. Behind one of the doors was what they called the zonk prize. Y'all watched it. A prank prize. You could get by with a decent prize and still go home happy. You'd be real happy with the car. But you just about will get in the flesh in a hurry if you get the zonk prize. And so you know, some of those prizes that were out there, they've seen the show in the past, they're flashing in their mind. And they've got those bright prizes in their mind. They've got the flashing lights of the studio, and they've got the crowd that is just cheering them on to try to help them make the right decision, you know? And we all know sometimes they make the right choice. Sometimes they make the wrong choice. And they live with the consequences. They don't know what's on the other side of that door. You and I may be here this morning, and we may be facing that open door. You can come on, Mickey. They may be facing that open door. You may be right there at it. You're staring at the door. You're wondering, do I go through this right now? Do I choose this door? There may be two or three of them. There may be, what doctor do I use? There's two or three of them. What job do I take? There's two or three of them. What approach do I have with my children? There's two or three. What do I do, dear God? What door do I choose? Could I just encourage you, don't look at all the flashy prizes. Don't look at all the bright lights. Don't listen to the pressure of the crowd all around you trying to get you to make the right decision. Walk with God. Employ the prayers of God's people. Stay in His will and trust Him all the way and go to sleep in the middle of your problem. And watch the preparation of God as He comes to you and He says, put on your coat. Put on your sandals. As He nudges you in the side, follow me. If you feel pushed to your open door or your door, it's not of God likely. God will guide you. Would you rise to your feet quietly and reverently in the house of God? Altars of God are open.